5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right. There's guys at... that I'm seeing on here on my LinkedIn that I haven't, you know, talked to in like 20 years, and they're having like some kind of work anniversary or something. So they work for like these big companies and they're powerful and things like this. They got big jobs and everything, and they're having like, you know, work anniversaries. And you know, people always do that. Hey, congrats on your work anniversary, which is like, you know, male organ of the month club stuff. So what I do is I send things like, hey, man, you remember when we did all that blow that night in college? They probably don't like that, but I do. Probably not. I mess with people. And, I actually don't say that, but I did say, I remember when you were nothing but trouble, and they know what that means. I mess with everybody. I'm a horrible human being. So anyway, it's your boy. Dave Sims' birthday today. Happy birthday, old man. You the man. You remember him, right? Your boy Dave Sims, the voice of the Mariners.
One of the all-time greats.
There you go. He'll be like, what the hell is Farrell rushing me a happy birthday for? He used to do our show all the time.
I mean, I cannot believe that this just happened. I mean, I'm sick right now. Sick.
What just happened?
Well, you know, we're on the Ducks here, right? We're on the Ducks against the Cougars.
What is happening?
Well, the Ducks had a 9-point lead with under 30 seconds to play. They're laying 5, okay? And they're going to the free throw line up 9. Miss the free throw. Washington State goes to the other end. Miss 1-3, offensive rebound. Miss a second 3, offensive rebound. Then finally they hit a 3 to make it a 6-point game. So, still covering. It's like 10 seconds left in the game. Foul. They miss another free throw they miss.
Let me guess. They bad beat. They win by 3. And it was like 3 and a hook, right?
It was 5.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. They hit another 3.
What?
They lose by 3.
Oh, God. Sick. They won by 3.
Oregon won by 3, but that don't help me.
They didn't cover. Yeah. And then Rhode Island's going to fail me. Kansas is going to do me up. Creighton struggles with Georgetown all night. They're only up 6. I think they were laying... what was that number? 10.5. They're not going to cover. Wilmington won. St. Bonnie won and covered. Davidson, well, how many were they laying? 13, they didn't cover. Our boy Jimmy Madison did not get it done. Delaware won. UCF won. They were laying. They covered 7.5. They won by 9. Charleston won by 4. Drexel covered. Didn't I get 4.5 with Drexel? I think it might have been. Drexel was 4. That was a push. Welcome to my radio affiliate, SiriusXM Mightier, 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego. Near Tijuana, do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline. Iron Force, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Welcome to FOB, baby. Real quick, Votek beat Virginia, fail. Kansas State won and covered over West Virginia, beat them by 5. Marist beat Niagara by 7, they covered. Fairfield by 4 over Canisius. Too bad they were laying 6. They didn't cover. Fail. Western Kentucky by 10 over Southern Miss. Northern Colorado covered, laying 1 against Southern Utah. They won by 5 at home in Greeley, where they grow that fresh, funky, cold Medina. The Dayton win over Rhode Island was 6. And that's it. Nothing else matters. Metallica. And nothing else matters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Going on right now, Nuggets blowing out the Magic. 99-82, 7 minutes left because the Magic hairdryer city. Jazz 112-92 over the Rockets. Rockets hairdryer city. Warriors up 3 on the Clippers after 1. Curry's lighting it up. Thunder beat the Knicks in overtime. Fail. Wizards win. Cover over the Pistons 103-94. Nets, I told you, there's no way. Did I not tell you after they lost 11 in a row? There's no way that the Brooklyn Nets are losing to the Sacramento Kings. I said they are not losing to that team. I can guarantee it because they suck. I don't even care with Sabonis. They still suck. 109-85 Nets. There's your cover.
We could talk about this because we're going to go to break now and come back. I watched a little bit of that tonight. The Nets are going to be very much better suited with all these Philadelphia guys when the big guys are out of the lineup. Curry's used to doing this. He lit it up tonight. He's used to Embiid being out a lot. I think those guys are going to be really helpful to the Nets, especially when everybody's healthy.
Drummond and Curry. And they don't even have Simmons yet. He was there tonight, though. We'll talk about it on a bench. All right, we're on a bench with you. And so, I don't know, you said you wanted to... you wanted to talk about something here, and it was troubling you. Is that what?
It wasn't troubling.
Is that what you're talking about?
No. What I was saying was, I think that the Nets having all these Philly guys now is going to be a lot better for them when they don't have any of their main guys in the lineup. So, with Durant out right now, or when they're at home when Kyrie can't play, I just feel like Curry and Drummond and these guys that they brought over are used to this. They're used to playing without Simmons. They're used to playing a lot of games without Embiid. They win games, right. and they've won games. And you watch Curry tonight. I mean, what do you have? 25, 23, 25, whatever he had. I mean, he was shooting great. And when those guys are healthy and he's like your third or fourth option, I think it's going to be even better for that. Now, nobody's ever healthy on the team, but I think it's going to help them in the long run.
Yeah, 23.
Yeah.
He had 23, 10 of 18 from the floor. And then let's look at what he did. He hit 3 threes, which led the team. Brown had 19. Drummond had 11, 9, and 4, so he was good. Aldridge had 19 and 8 boards. When he plays, he just deals. Look, they lost 11 in a row. That was the most pathetic stretch of basketball I've ever seen them play, ever. Of any team that I have ever seen them have. I'm being honest. I don't ever remember them, being good. and losing 11 in a row. I'm not talking about when they sucked. I'm talking about when they, since they've been in Brooklyn, I can guarantee you, I don't ever remember seeing them lose 11 in a row. And they were anemic. It was truly unbelievable. I will say this, though. Ben Simmons, who I have railed many times because he can't shoot. That's all there is to it. The guy's afraid to shoot. He's got the yips. And he's not, he can't knock down a mid-range shot, a three, a free throw. I mean, he got so bad, he didn't want to dunk. He just gave up the ball, right? So look, there's no doubt he's got a shooting problem. I mean, without a doubt. But I'm telling you, when it comes to North-South, running up the court with the ball, explosive, you know, beyond reproach. The guy is absolutely, I mean, he's a terrorist when he's got the ball and he's going North-South. He's just absolutely unstoppable. He goes right through people like butter. And I'm telling you, that guy can get to the 10 and dunk, can get to the 10 and lay it in off the kiss as good as any player in the league, without a doubt. I'm not even concerned about that. And look, if the guy can't shoot, if he's afraid to shoot, if he's not going to shoot, and he can't make free throws or anything else, then so be it. Then turn him into the North-South player that he is and let him run wild and go to the rim and either dunk it or kiss it or finger roll it, and you'll see what happens. I'm telling you, if that guy gets his confidence going to the 10 and he starts lobbing to people, lob dunking to Slim Reaper, lob dunking to Claxton, lob dunking to Aldridge, lob dunking to Drummond, I'm telling you, he's going to end up being better than Harden and Westbrook and all of them. Because, look, people talk about Westbrook's the most explosive guy in the league, but now people say he sucks. A guy that's had 50 million triple-doubles and led the league. Remember, he had two seasons, he averaged a triple-double. And then people now say he sucks. He's completely lost it. He's terrible, can't shoot. He's a disaster. He's hurting the Lakers. They can't get rid of him. I mean, have you ever heard anyone say anything good about him? No. When's the last time you heard somebody say something good about Westbrook?
Long time.
Like, never. He's finished in terms of reputation. They've already ruined him. And then I'm telling you, I don't deny Harden can ball, but he's not the same player he was in Houston. He's slower, fatter. His outside J has deserted him. I mean, one night he could have 30 and hit every outside shot. The next night he could go 0-for from the perimeter. I mean, literally. Do you remember I saw him have a four-point game? A four-point game. This guy averaged, you know, 25, 30 points. And now he can't score 5 points? I'm telling you, he is not the same player that he was. And everybody's talking about Philadelphia winning a title because they got Harden. I think they are absolutely tripping on acid. Tripping. They're not winning anything with him. The only thing they're winning with is Embiid. Embiid is going to win the MVP. I got a 3,000 ticket for big money on him winning the MVP when it was minus 3,000. I got it. And all I know is, listen, he's the only thing that matters. If Harden comes in there trying to have big scoring nights and big stat nights, hero ball, they're doomed, Carver High. Doomed.
He's
going to come in and just float it to Embiid every time down, then they'll win.
He's a pig, and that's exactly what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to get his every single night because that's what he does. That's James Harden. That's why he's on his third team in 14 months. You know, that's just kind of the way that it goes. And with Simmons, We talked a lot how he needs to go into witness protection program, Sacramento, Orlando, etc. This isn't awful for him either, because in Philadelphia the pressure was on him to be, you know, the 1-2 with him and Embiid. If everybody's actually playing in Brooklyn, which as we always say, we've said it already a couple times tonight, that's the big if. But if everybody's out there, Durant's the main guy. Kyrie's the main guy. You know, Simmons can kind of filter into the background with those guys, and he's a talented player. Even though he can't shoot, he might not need to with those other guys on the floor.
He could actually... we already know he can defend. In my opinion, he's the best defender on the team. He was the best defender in Philly. He was better than Embiid at defending.
That's not good enough.
Court, from one end of the court to the other, he was the best defensive player they had. So if the guy can go north and south and get to the 10, dish, finish, lob dunk, or otherwise, and he plays defense and gets steals and block shots like he does, I mean, he will fit like a glove. And I'm talking automatic. Of course I'm worried about his Jay, but we all know he can't shoot. So don't shoot. Dunk. Dunk it. I mean, the guy's 6'10". Dunk it. Drive to the 10 and dunk it. He's real good at that. You know that, Carver High. That guy ain't missing no dunk. He's Tomahawk City.
Nope.
So let's go. Go north, south, jump, dunk. There's your new offense. There's no point in that guy pulling up from three. Can't hit it. He's going to go to line. He's going to miss free throws. He's going to be their worst free throw shooter. It is what it is. But you know what's funny? The Nets can't shoot free throws anyway. They're like the worst free throw shooting team in the league.
Yeah.
Did you know that? They're terrible at the line. So are the Knicks. And the Knicks are so bad they lost to the Thunder tonight. I know I've already said that. I'm going to say it again. I might even say it again before I leave the show. That's how bad they suck. So let's stop talking about Tom Thibodeau being a good coach. He sucks too. I mean, remember last year when they were a number four seed and everybody said he's just like coach of the year and all this other nonsense? Who's laughing now?
And we're back for On the Bench on a Monday night. As we'll get Scotty back in a couple of minutes here. Carver High here with you. Hanging as always. And we were talking about, of course, the night in the NBA. Getting to the Super Bowl a little bit coming up soon, too. Scotty's right, though. The Knicks, they just absolutely suck. I mean, it is absolutely impossible to watch that team. And you knew it. Coming off of the long West Coast trip, where they didn't play well, other than the night that they beat the Warriors in San Francisco, which I still can't figure out how they did it. But other than that, the Knicks were so bad on that entire trip. For them to then come home 10-point favorites again, I don't think they lose the game outright. But 10-point favorites against the Oklahoma City Thunder makes absolutely no sense to me. Zero. And there you go. They lose the game outright. That's typical Knicks for you right there. Absolutely typical Knicks. Hard to figure it out sometimes. It really is. So we're here on a Monday night. Let's see what else we have going on. We were mentioning some of the other games. Right now in L.A., 54-54. Little tie game out at the Crypto between the Warriors and the Clippers. And as Scotty was mentioning earlier, a on fire first half for Steph Curry. He's got 21 of the 54 for the Warriors so far. There's still just about 420 left to go in the first half. He's got 21 of the 54. 5 of 6 from 3. Klay Thompson with 7. He's got 1-3 going too. But the Clippers are getting a big night. Batum's got 11. My man Reggie Jackson's got 10. Zubox with 9. We may have Zubox in a little SGP tonight, to be quite honest, along with Curry 3s and Klay Thompson 3s. So we're looking for a little bit more from the big man there for the Clippers. So that game's tied at 54. About 4 minutes left to go in the first half between those two. The Nuggets are about to close out the Magic in Denver tonight. 117-109, under a minute to go there in that one. 25 for Carter, 25 for Wagner for the Magic. Not going to be enough as they're down 8 right now. Let's see what the Joker had cooking tonight. This dude's an absolute monster, man. 26 for the Joker. 15 boards. Absolutely insane. Insane going on with the Joker. So they're about to close that one up with the Magic. So we got Scotty back on now. Hi, Scotty. How are you doing? We got you back.
All right. So, like, I just sat here. I have no idea where you lost me. At what point did I go out?
During the commercial.
Oh, in a commercial. So we're back.
Yes.
All right. So I never got to tell you what I thought of Zach Taylor.
Not yet. No, you did not.
Okay. Well, I just spent, 5 minutes talking, and it was just like I was never even on the air. So that was just fantastic. Can't get enough of that. Let me tell you, here's what happened. I thought it was the worst coaching I've ever seen in my life in a Super Bowl. I thought that when they got the ball back with a minute and a quarter, I thought, and they threw the pass to Chase, and I thought then and there, I was like, they're going down. I mean, at the very least, to get McPherson a field goal, tie it, send it to overtime. And then I thought bigger than that, they had plans to go stick it down their throat and score. I thought the third down call with P. Ryan was an absolute utter embarrassment. And the fourth down play was a disaster. You got a guy in Higgins who's literally can jump. When he jumps, his elbow is above the square on the backboard. Okay, this guy at Clemson and in the NFL has proven that he is a high-leaping flyer that can go up top, climb the ladder, and catch anything. He has proven to be their best receiver in the playoffs, bar none, including Chase. And he caught one in the back of the end zone climbing a ladder. The 75-yarder, whether he face-masked or not, is irrelevant because he made the catch. I don't care if it was dirty or not, they didn't call it. It's funny to me they didn't call anything the whole game, and then they called 3 penalties in the last minute when the Rams were on their drive, their 17-play drive, whatever it was. And 78 yards, they went down. They got the call at the 8, down to the 4, down to the 2, down to the half-yard line, whatever it was. And those three calls, I thought the Wilson call was terrible. I thought the other two were legit. But when you move it down to the 4 and then down to the 2 and then down to the half-yard line, whatever it was, they just literally said, this is a Hollywood ending. This is a for movie stars, rich people, L.A., sunshine, Rams win on their home field, perfect ending. We're going to make a movie out of it. We're going to make a movie. You win. Here you go. Here's the Lombardi. I thought it was embarrassing the way the game ended. I don't disagree that the Rams won the game. I think they won the game fair and square. It's theirs. Congrats. Rings, titles. You got it. You got my respect. But in my opinion, on top of anything else, the Bengals blew the game. When they were up 20-13, they blew it. When it was 20-16, I knew they were going to lose. Then when they got the ball back with a minute and a quarter left, I thought they'd win the game. So they had me spinning around like I was at the fairgrounds on a ride that makes you sick and vomit. All I know is that I thought Zach Taylor, if he was in charge of that, which I think he was, I thought his play calling was amateur hour. Terrible. Their best player in the backfield wasn't in the game. They had P. Ryan out there. It was embarrassing. The fact that they didn't throw to Higgins, I said it all day today on Coast to Coast. I'm going to say it again. That was the worst. I mean, the only guy the entire effing game to make plays was Higgins. What you're going to tell me? What was he? Doubled? Tripled? No one can jump as high as Higgins. Not one guy on the entire team. You couldn't jump that high if you had a trampoline on that team. Those corners and safeties are so small on the Rams that I would have thrown to this guy. I'm not even lying to you. I would have thrown to him. How many targets did he have? Add 15 more for my tastes. I said it on the air before the game. I was on with Morency. And I was on with, Bovey, Merrill, all these guys, Mick Gossie. And I said, it's simple. Throw the ball to Higgins, win the game. No one can stop him. He's got a foot and a half on every guy in the field. And the fact that they gave that ball with that absolute shacky line of theirs, that shacky line of theirs, that crap-ass landfill garbage stench line of theirs, that they would run the ball on third and one with that crap line of theirs was the worst coaching I've ever seen at any level of football in my life. And I mean it, because I was a fan of Zach Taylor's going into that game, and you know I was. I bragged about him from worst to first. What a story. He's done a hell of a job. They were patient. They kept him instead of firing him. The Brown family, they did a great job being patient. And then, to me, all that went down the toilet on Super Bowl Sunday because, I mean, you're up 20-13. You got to score again, win the game. If they score again, it's over. And if they score again, it's a two-score game, and the game's over. Because there was, you know, whatever, they had the ball with, you know, 8, 7, 6.5 left, and they couldn't do anything with it. And it was like they were just, they were playing to lose. That's what they were. They were playing to lose, not to win. And my buddy, I swear on my mother's grave, he got the Rams when they were down 20-13, and he won 50 large. 50 large. I'm not talking about $50,000. And he's like, easiest money ever made. Because he was like, oh, the Rams are just so much better than the Bengals. No, they weren't. The Rams should have lost that game. They didn't. I respect them. Fair enough. I always said they could win the game, and they did. I bet on the Bengals in the four, and I hit that. Thank God. But I'm telling you, Carver Height, I'll argue with anybody. I mean, it wasn't the Bengals really and Burrow to blame. It was that coach. And the stupid play calling and the conservative, wussy second half he rolled out. I mean, this guy, I don't know what was worse, watching the Niners melt down against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or this one. I don't know which one was worse. I'm starting to think this one was worse.
I think that this was worse. Just because, like you said, it's self-inflicted wounds, really. Now, I know that the guys couldn't block. He had to switch some things up, and he just wouldn't do it. Now his defense couldn't make a play either. Those two guys in the secondary really suck. You know, they had two guys, three guys sometimes on cup. It didn't matter. They made it happen. I think it falls on Taylor the most. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm done with him. Like, here's the deal. I know now that he wasn't ready for the moment against his former boss. His former boss took him to the cleaners. I mean, and I got to tell you, I also said live on with Morenci yesterday for 4 hours. I said Hilton and Apple both hairdryer city.
Yeah, they suck.
I mean, they both are terrible. I mean, I remember when Hilton was with the Steelers, they got rid of him because he sucks. And so does Eli Apple. I've seen him, too. I've seen him mow through the league with his crappy ass. I mean, his coverage is weak, 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 red rum. I mean, oh, my God, that guy. How about this guy talking Shaq before the game that he's going to shut down Odell Beckham? Eli Apple couldn't shut down Odell Beckham with a blown-out knee. He could run on a blown-out knee and light that dude up like an absolute doobie. It's Pharrell on the bench. So, when you think back, you know, today I said, like, Michael Jackson and Prince were better. I mean, because they were. What do you remember as your favorite ones of all time, like, in terms of the halftime show? Because, listen, I'm a huge fan of all those guys. Like, I said this today, like, Dre, Dogg, Eminem. You know I love Eminem. I'm friends with a lot of his friends in Detroit that have done my show. I was on Shade for years doing sports with everybody on that network, on that channel. I'm a huge fan of his. My daughter's favorite artist is Eminem, bar none. And I mean, bar none. Like, I mean, no one else even exists in her world. She loves Eminem. And I love it. Listen, honestly, like, and I liked it. I'm not going to sit here and say I didn't like it. But I just thought it was fair to Midland, like, because I guess I've seen that act, not that particular, like, Super Bowl act, but I've seen those songs played by them so many times, like, it was their first concert, right? Like, so when I've seen, you know, I've seen Eminem do that. My palms are sweaty, all that. And I've seen Dre and Dog do this thing like 1,000 times. So to me, it was like, I get it. The NFL scared to death of them. And they said, these are the songs you're going to play. I guarantee you they forced them to play whatever. Like, they had to give them options, and they picked that. I guarantee it. And, you know, the NFL is scared to death of everything. And of any act at all, they're scared to death of it. And I'm certain they were scared to death of Snoop Dogg. They thought he was going to spark up a beefy one right then and there. And then they said they knew that Eminem was going to kneel. And you know what? Congratulations, you kneeled in the halftime show. Like, who gives a rat's ass? No one really cares, do they? Did that change the world today? Did you see anybody do a, what a magnificent statement. What an earth-shattering statement that he kneeled for Colin Kaepernick. You know, whatever. Like, congratulations. Have at it. But I've seen him perform that song 5 million times. So to me, it was like boring. I was like, oh God, not again. You know, like, I want to see him do, when he's really at his best, you can't even argue, Carver High. When that guy starts rapping and slinging it and doing his thing on stage, I mean, he's really unequaled. I mean, that guy can do some songs, blow your mind. Now, that's a great song. I don't deny it. I love that song. But I've seen it 5 million times, so it doesn't do anything for me anymore. I've moved on. And I've seen him do other stuff that's just brilliant and deep and intense. And I would have rather seen some of that. But I guarantee you the NFL said no. They said, we're not doing that. You're going to play this song right here. I guarantee it, because I don't think for 1 minute he wanted to go back and play that song, because I mean, that song, how old is that? Everything they played was so old. It was like all of them, every one of those artists. I don't even know why. I'll be honest. I don't even know why 50 Cent was there. It was some kind of East Coast thing. They're going to add a little sprinkle. It didn't work. It didn't work. And I love all those actors and actresses and rappers. Look, I like 50 Cent with power on Stars than I do ever the music that he makes. I think his music sucks, but I think his shows are great. I think the TV work he does with Power and all those Force and, Raising Kanan, all those shows, the second edition of Ghost, the first edition of Ghost, I love those shows. They're incredible, but I just didn't get it. I really didn't get it. What did you think?
I mean, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was as earth-shattering like you, as a lot of people made it out to be. Was it better than some of the other ones that we've seen over the past few years? I mean, I guess. For me personally, the Super Bowl halftime show, I mean, for the most part, they all suck, just because, for the most part, I don't like the music that they put on it. They don't put my type of music on the Super Bowl halftime show. They don't put rock and roll. They don't put stuff like that. So, you know, it's not really for me. The only ones that...
What's the biggest rock act ever? Is it Aerosmith?
Looking at the list, Aerosmith did it in the early 2000s. The one I remember U2 doing it after 9/11, in the Superdome with the Patriot-Rams Super Bowl. U2 did it that year, which was pretty good. Bruce Springsteen did it once or twice. I mean, The Who did it that one year in Miami. I'm not the biggest Who guy, so whatever. I'd like a year where, why can't they, like, just 1 year, why can't you put a big-time rock out there? Like, why can't you, I mean, Grohl's big enough now. Why can't you throw the Foo Fighters out there 1 year in the Super Bowl halftime show? Like, why? Why can't we do that?
They have never done it?
No, they've never done it. Never.
That's embarrassing. They're like in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but the NFL won't let them play.
Like these pop ones, you know what? Some of them are all right. Like last year, I wasn't into The Weeknd. I never even heard of the dude before he did the halftime.
Oh, that was a disaster. The year that
Timberlake did it wasn't bad. I mean, he knows what he's doing. Justin Timberlake was okay the year
when he did the wardrobe malfunction.
No, that was way, way, way back when. That was right after. That was still when he was like a, you know, the boy band guy with NSYNC. That was like his first like big, you know, I'm out of the boy band thing, was ripping off her dress. This, he did it solo, I think the year they were in Minnesota. What was that, 3 or 4 years ago? He did it solo, and he was pretty good.
I mean,
I'm not into it.
I get it. I get it that stadium was brand new, worth billions in Minneapolis. I'm here to tell you. I mean, no offense. No offense intended, but nobody wants to go there for the Super Bowl. I mean, honestly. I hope they learned their lesson. Now, you can have it in New York, and they got lucky when it's 54 degrees.
They got real lucky.
New York City, they got real lucky. New York City's second to none when it comes to anything. You want to have a party, have it here.
Yeah, but the stadium sucks. We're
the best. Uh-huh. The stadium's an atrocity. They cannot have another Super Bowl there. It's embarrassing. But I'm telling you, no one wants to go to these cold-ass places. And I'm telling you, I'm going to say it again. Arizona, I went to the Super Bowl there, and I thought it was awful. I mean, I won't deny I had fun when I went to Tempe and did the show at the Hooters, and a bunch of people got DUIs, and I had like 3,000 people packed into this bar, and it was a scene. I was on Howard 101, and I'll never forget. I remember doing it, and my guy from the Howard channels was so scared. I mean, the guy's eyes were like a deer in the headlights. He was so scared that what was going on there in that bar. He was scared to death because I had it going. I mean, I had it going. You think the 16th hole of Waste Management Open was exciting? You should have seen the Hooters when I was at the Super Bowl when the Giants played the Patriots. I mean, I threw a party second to none. There are people jumping off balconies, people getting deweys, you name it. People in the bathrooms having sex. I mean, it was on. And I still, to this day, was like, yeah, but that whole week was bunk. Like, it was just like, what do you do there? Like, I mean, I guess people go golfing. How much golfing can you do before you're ready to jump in a lake? I mean, honestly, like, I'm not going out there next year to golf, like, every day, like everybody else. I mean, it's just like, oh, God, here we go. We're all going golfing again. I mean, just like, golf's cool. Like, to me, I like playing golf. I played golf my whole life. When I lived in L.A., I played 5-6 days a week. I was a 6 handicap. But I don't play golf anymore. I play basketball. And golf to me is like once or twice a summer I'll go golfing. I have a good time. It's fun. I can really hit a golf ball a mile. I'm good at it. But I still think it sucks. I do. I'm like, here, let me sit in a golf cart for 6 hours and wait for some lady to hit a golf ball in front of me. I want to jump in a lake. I'm just like, and I'll be out on the court. I'll be like, hit the ball. I don't mess around. I step right up and crank it. I don't have any time for this, you know, waving the club around, taking 9 practice swings. And I can't go to Arizona and do like some kind of golf tour. You know, everyone and their brother's going to go out there, bring their golf clubs with them. I mean, it is sissy hour. I mean, yeah. I got to tell you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find me – I'm going to bring my Wilson. I'm going to bring my basketball and find me some ball when I go out there. Because I'll tell you what, I know they roll out there in Scottsdale and Tempe and Tucson. They play ball out there, and they got – my league is out there. One of the best – a couple of NBA players play out there that play in my league. My league's national. It's no joke. We just got invited, my team, which has been in 19 championship games. They invited us to play in the national tournament in Vegas just tonight.
Wow.
I just got the letter. They're like, we want the Pharrell Ballers. And we got it. Like, they want to go in May and play in Vegas in some big tournament. See if we're as bad as we think we are. And they all think we're badass. And I think, we've had our fair share of problems in those title games, but we won 9 of them. But nationally, there's teams that rock us and beat us by 30. You know what I mean? Like, but I think we're good. We can play with anybody. I mean, we're no slouch. We're hard to beat. You gotta put it together to beat us. And teams have done it. They've beat us. We're beatable. Anybody's beatable. I'll never forget, you know, my kids get all worked up when they're going to play all the black teams in New York City. And they're like, oh, no, we're playing all the black kids today. And I'm like, I don't care if you're green, purple, orange, black, yellow, or sponge. If you play good defense and you knock down shots, you can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime, any day of the week. It don't matter who you are. I play with brothers left and right. I got brothers on my team. They're dudes. They're the same way. Oh, these white boys can't play with us. Yeah, until we beat you. It's simple. Play good D, make shots. You can beat anybody. You play great defense, you can beat anybody. You got to play solid. You can't make mistakes. You can't turn the ball over. But if you play great defense and knock down shots and you shoot high percentage from the floor and you have stops and you play defense in people's faces and you block shots, rebound, alter shots, make a miss. If you get possessions off of misses and knock down shots, you can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime. But I'd rather play ball than go golfing. But Carver High wants to go golfing. I get it. Carver High's a big golf better. He loves playing golf.
I'm not gonna get
He loves that cold beer on a golf course. So do I.
But I
like golfing.
I can't go out there and golf. I mean, barely had time
there's
to
no
sleep
time.
This week. There's no time to golf at these things Monday through Friday. Impossible.
Not even once. Yeah. Well, look, I went golfing with Bissonette, and he slept with 14 playmates.
I'd like to go to that Waste Management Open. Now that I'd like to mosey on over to one of those days next year. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'd like to go to that, and we can go to that. It's not that hard. Haro could get us in there. Plus, so could Darren Banks easily.
Yeah.
Our buddy in Vegas. He goes every year. He's like King Tut at that thing. Warriors trailing the Clippers 63-59 right now. 11 left early in the third. Curry's been magical early in this game. Let me see if he's got a couple things happened tonight. One, he was lighting it up earlier. Let me see where he's at now. Let's see where he's at. Curry's got 26, 6 of 7 from 3. He's just going off. He's 9 of 11 from the floor. He's having one of those nights. And he just got elbowed in the mouth by Mann. And they called an offensive foul. He elbowed him right in the mouth. But the other thing is that your boy Evander Kane went back with the Oilers to San Jose for his first visit back in San Jose since he left the team, and all of his problems occurred when he was in San Jose. And I mean to tell you, they gave him the business tonight, Carver High. Those fans gave him the business. It's Pharrell on the bench. The Oilers are up on the Sharks 2-0. They're giving Evander Kane the welcome mat, and there's mud all over it. They're giving him the business tonight in San Jose at the Tank. But the Oilers are winning the game, getting the last laugh, even though they suck too. How about the Blackhawks? They beat the Jets tonight, Carver High. Your boy Fleury, the flower on Valentine's Day, getting another win with 31 saves. And I got to tell you, I know they're still six games under, but they're playing good hockey.
They are.
Lately. You know what I mean? They're like winning almost every game they play.
Like they are, and I hope they keep doing it. I have their point total over 90.5 for this season, so it would be nice if they had a huge second-half surge.
The Leafs beat the Smoke Kraken in Seattle 6-2, and the Wild 7-4. Over the Red Wings. So anyway, the Clippers are up 8 on the Warriors with 8 left in the third. And those late night games, Jazz by 34 over the Rockets. So much for betting on the Rockets spread. And then the Magic lost by 10 to the Nuggets. The Nuggets were laying 10 and a hook. Drag. Pelicans blew out the Raptors. I didn't see that coming. Blazers upset the Bucks. The Bucks punting another game tonight. They just do not give a rat's ass about anything. And the Bulls got 40 from DeRozan. They beat the Spurs by 11. And then the Nets blew out the Kings. Seth Curry with 23-piece there in his first game with the Nets. Wizards 103-94 over the Pistons. Thunder beat the Knicks in overtime at the Garden by 4. And that's about it. We already went through all the college. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. For Carver High, I'm Pharrell from New York. Good night.